Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Talented team we have here. That was awesome. You guys can have a seat. Man, welcome to Summer Playlist. If you weren't awake before that, now you're awake. That was awesome. Well, like it was mentioned already, Summer Playlist is where you guys vote on the songs. And then we come up with a message based on the songs that you chose. So this week is Respect, like you just heard. And I want to tell you that it was late 1960s when this song kind of debuted with Aretha Franklin. And African Americans and women, they were struggling to be recognized as equals in society. If we look at it, we've got pictures of the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement. We're all a part of this 50s, 60s, 70s era. And when this song came out, first of all, it was written and sung by a man to begin with. And then Aretha just kind of took it, owned it, and made it what it is and what everybody knows. And so this is Aretha Franklin. And so she took this song at the height of the civil rights movement and the women's rights movement, you know, where laws were being passed and changes were being communicated, and yet actual progress was slow. So when an African-American woman told the world that she wasn't going to take it any longer, a whole lot of people listened. And this song became an anthem, not only for the African-American community, but also for the female community. It doesn't take a whole lot to realize why this was Aretha Franklin's signature song, why it won so many awards, why it really has gone down in history as one of the most loved songs of last century. We live in a world where people want respect. And with movements like Black Lives Matter and Me Too and Time's Up, and the events that happened like this week with Nia Wilson's murder, just horrific. I think it's safe to say that we still have a ways to go when it comes to showing respect to each other in society. Now, I have a confession to make. I will never know what it's like to be black, or any other ethnicity for that matter. I'll never know what it's like to be a man. Half of you will never know what it's like to be a woman. Those are all facts. Those are all real things. And I hope that on a weekend like this, with a song like this, that we can take all the things that maybe we don't understand about each other, maybe all of the things that would keep us from realizing something that might seem small to you that's happening to me is big to me. And something that I think might be small to you is big to you. And within all of that interweaving of what culture tells us and what the Bible tells us and what we think and what we feel and what we go through, I hope that on a weekend like this weekend, we can all agree that something everyone wants is respect. And I hope that all of us listening to this message can agree that if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, that we're actually a part of a bigger picture. We're a part of something that transcends whether we're male or female. We're a part of something that transcends the color of our skin. We're a part of God's family. We're a part of something that Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, was sent to earth to offer salvation, not just to white men, but God sent his Son because he loved the world and all the people in it, no matter what color your skin is, no matter whether you're a man or a woman, no matter what your background is socioeconomically, no matter where you're from geographically, that God sent his Son because he loved the entire world and everyone in it. And Jesus died and offered salvation for everyone who would say yes to him. In fact, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to pray a prayer and say yes to Jesus if you've never done that. And so just allow your heart to just be open and see what God can do with it. So let me ask you this question. In light of this song and the things that we're talking about, have you ever felt like Miss Aretha? Have you ever felt like you had to stand up and ask for respect? Have you ever wanted to feel respect from someone who's not showing you any respect? Have you ever thought to yourself, I deserve respect? If so, if you can answer yes to any or all of those questions, did you realize that just because you want it doesn't mean you'll get it? You see, respect doesn't just happen because you tell someone to respect you. You think about it when a teacher or even a coach demands respect. It doesn't mean that they'll get it. They won't get actual respect. They might get fear or intimidation. Or when a boss demands respect, it doesn't mean that she'll actually get it. She might get actions that demonstrate respect on the surface. But really, there's this thing brewing underneath the surface that is anything but respect. So since we all want it, since we all desire respect, this weekend, I want to talk to you about how respect can look like a river flowing to you and through you. Sometimes it gets stopped. The flow gets hindered. And we have a lot to do with that. And before we're done, I want to give you one sentence or one truth that I think will help us get in the flow of respect. But since this is the summer playlist, we actually have to talk about the song. And so I thought we could start with some lyrics. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. Seems like a pretty good place to start. What does it mean? What is respect? I think we could all agree that respect is about treating people in a positive manner that acknowledges them for who they are, what they've done. The dictionary even says that it's a feeling of deep admiration for someone elicited by their abilities, their qualities, or their achievements. The Bible talks about respect. 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone. Who does it say to show respect to?
Everyone.
Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. That would be like our government. Don't hurt the messenger. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, being respected is more important than having great riches. To be well thought of is better than silver or gold. And so if we think about respect as a river, respect is either flowing to you or you are stopping the flow. We all want respect. We all desire it. And we all know somebody in our life who wants it so badly, and yet respect is consistently stopped before it gets to them. And at the same time, we all know people who want respect so badly, and it consistently flows to them. If you feel like you have respect flowing to you and even flowing through you, you had a lot to do with that happening in your life. And at the same time, if you feel like you don't have a lot of respect flowing to you, you probably had a lot to do with the fact that it's not flowing to you. So I hope that I can help you and help me and help everybody who's listening to understand what it looks like for respect to flow to us, to flow through us, and if we are stopping the flow, how we can stop stopping the flow and get the flow flowing back to us. So, just because I'm visual, here's a couple pictures of a river. This is a picture of a dam, because basically, if you're stopping the flow of respect in your life, it's probably your actions, your words, your attitudes that are physically building a dam in the river of respect. So we can either be in the flow of respect. The current is around us. We're going with the flow of the current. It's a part of us. It's flowing in us. It's flowing to us. It's flowing through us. Yes, there's bends and curves and rapids along the way. It's not always easy, but we're in the flow of respect. Or we're stopping the flow with our own actions and our own words, and our own attitudes, and until we become aware, until we recognize that we ourselves are stopping the flow, we're actually building a barrier between us and the respect that we so want in our lives. So is respect flowing to you and through you? I want to give you that one sentence or that one truth that will help you get into the flow of respect. And through it, we're going to do like a mini case study between King Saul and King David in the Bible. Now, obviously, there's a lot of content between King Saul and King David, so I'm not going to give you the whole thing. But if you want to study it on your own, it basically starts in about 1 Samuel chapter 9 with Saul, and then it goes all the way through with King David until Kings chapter 2, and they're even both mentioned in 1 Chronicles. So there's a lot of content there. I'm just going to give you snapshots of it as we walk through tonight, but hopefully by looking at these two men, we can see what it looks like to get in the flow or to stop the flow of respect in our lives. So in order to go through the one sentence, I want to break it down. And we're going to start. Love technology. Respect yourself. I mean, even the lyrics in our song, it says, what you want, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it. If that isn't self-respect, I don't know what is. And if we looked at David and Saul, King Saul, he showed us many times that he had little self-respect, that he was full of insecurities. And in just one example, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, the prophet Samuel is basically telling him, God has chosen you to be the first king of Israel. And Saul looks back at him and says, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of these families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? Whereas David, before he's even king, all right? He tells us, he shows us, before he's king, when he's king, he showcases self-respect, confidence. He's a warrior. He's a leader. He has, communication and relationship with God. He's known as a man after God's own heart. And we see that so many times, but even here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, right before he goes on to defeat Goliath, he's looking back at then King Saul, and he says, your servant, me, has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. The Lord who delivered me then will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He's showing us that he respects himself, that he's confident, not only in who he is, but who God is calling him to be. And David, he wrote a lot of the Psalms, and one of the Psalms that he is attributed to him is Psalm 139. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. It doesn't mean that he was perfect. God knows he made a ton of mistakes along the way. But we keep going back and reading that he would get himself right with God and he would move forward in confidence, knowing that God was on his side. So my question to all of us is, if we don't respect ourselves, why would anyone else respect us? I mean, based on the definition of respect, I can understand. We respect people based on their highlight reel, based on their accomplishments, based on what we see. And we often disrespect ourselves because we know what's going on behind the scenes. But self-respect is the first step to getting ourselves in the flow of respect. It's learning the language of self-respect. It's confessing who you are in Christ. It's being humble, which, remember, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. Positive self-talk. Ryan talked about it last weekend. Go listen to the message. Get good thoughts and good self-dialogue on repeat in your brain. This is the language of self-respect. Is respect flowing to you? Is it flowing through you? The first step in the process is to respect yourself. The next part of our sentence, it's respect yourself so you can respect others. Respect yourself so you can respect others. These are the first two steps if you want to get into the flow of respect and see respect flow to you and through you. Respect yourself and respect others. Instead of having a "you owe it to me before I choose to respect you" mentality, why not step out and respect first? David and Saul sent brigades of warriors out several times to hunt David for his life. To hunt him down because he was intimidated by David. I mean, there were so many verses to choose from. It's there. Read it. At one point, he killed all of the priests and their families because he felt threatened by what God would say about his leadership. Talk about insecurities. Talk about not respecting others. Not even God. And David, he showed respect to others. He respected God. He respected his men who were following, his friends, even his allies. He fought alongside the Philistines several times. And he spared Saul's life more than once. In 1 Samuel 24, Saul had gone into a cave while pursuing David to, I don't know, go to the bathroom or something. And David is hiding in that cave. Saul doesn't see him, and David could have killed him, but instead he just got close enough to cut off a piece of his robe to prove how close he got. He let Saul leave the cave, and, you know, a few whatever after he left, he kind of came out of the cave, and he's having this banter with Saul, basically like, I could have killed you and I didn't. And in 1 Samuel 24:10, this day, David's saying, you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand because he is the Lord's anointed. So many times, over and over, Saul showed us that he did not respect others, not even God. While David, before he was even king, respected others. Respect yourself so you can respect others. It comes with learning the language of respect for others. Along the pathway of learning what respect is, we need to learn the basics of the language of respect. There's this category, there's this form of respect called honor. We give honor to everyone because they're breathing, because they're human. Male, female, whatever color of skin they are, we honor them for being alive because we're all created in the image of God. Pastor Kevin talks about we honor up, we honor down, we honor all around because everything is better with honor. And then there's this next, you know, level or form of respect that is appreciation. It is admiration. It comes in a variety of amounts to a variety of people based on what they've done, who they are, what they've accomplished. And then yet there's another level of respect that's trust. It's given in a variety of amounts to even more select group of people in our lives. Hopefully a spouse gets a different level of trust than a boss. Hopefully a best friend gets a different level of trust than an acquaintance. There's different levels of respect. I understand that. And when we learn the language of respect, we can show respect to others. A healthy boss deserves more trust or respect than a coworker. Why? Because the boss sees the big picture. You and your coworker might not see the whole picture yet. It might not make sense why you're doing what you're doing because you don't see the same picture that the boss sees. So don't go talking bad about the boss just because you don't understand the big picture, right? If you answer to an unhealthy boss, they still should get some form of trust or respect or appreciation, at the very least honor, because of who they are, because the authority that they sit in. I mean, just look at David and the way that he reacted to a very unhealthy leader in King Saul. God honors it when we respect those who are in our lives. The last part of this sentence, respect yourself so you can respect others and others can respect you. What I hope you take away from this weekend is that we can't have others respect us before we respect ourselves and respect others. It's a very sequential thing that needs to happen in our lives. We have to respect ourselves first. We have to respect others. And then the byproduct of those first two steps is actually what brings the reward of being respected by others. When we take the leap of faith and respect ourselves, when we take the leap of faith and respect others, we get in the flow of respect. We position ourselves so that respect can not only flow to us, but it can also flow through us. Saul and David, I mean, there's just so much there to talk about. But it comes down to the fact that because Saul didn't respect himself and other people, in 1 Chronicles 10, it talks about that Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord, and he died a pretty gruesome death. His body and head, you know, it's gruesome. And then in David's life, all I could find was that when it came time for David to die, after reigning for 40 years, he died. A peaceful, from what I could tell, death. And I want to encourage you to remember that demanding respect doesn't equal obtaining respect. There's a difference between demanding respect and standing up for yourself. You can stand up for yourself. You can respect yourself and still do it in a respectful way. Even though you can't demand that other people respect you, you can still respect who you are and what you're doing, what God's called you to do. If I don't feel like someone is respecting me, I don't want to waste my time and energy on demanding their respect, because it'll be surface at best anyways. It'll be fear or intimidation at best anyways. So it's better just to put my energy and effort into living a life that's full of respect, and then people will respect that. My parents, when I was in high school and in college, they used to vacation, and I would go with them. And I remember the first few times, and I played basketball, and so I would always look for like where the pickup games were and where the locals were playing or whatever. And I learned really quickly growing up, especially as a girl, that it served me a lot better not to go out there and run my mouth and tell everybody how good I was and why they should have me on their team and whatever. Just to show up and keep to myself in the corner of the gym, shoot around a little bit. Hey, do you need an extra player? I'll play if you need somebody. I'll never forget, it happened like 2 or 3 years in a row. I'd show up. Didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me from anyone, right? I was the only girl in the gym, 8 to 12 guys, maybe 20, depending on where we were. The first couple days, I get picked last, whatever. By the end of the trip, like, they were coming over to me like, whose team are you on? You want to be on my team? Because I'm going to pick you first. I want you to be on my team. But it came not because I demanded respect, but just because I just showed up and played my game, who I was. I didn't try to be the fastest person on the court. I didn't try to jump the highest because I can't. I just tried to play my game and respected who I was and lived in a way that they would respect it. When I came on staff here as the pastor's daughter, there was a lot of challenges with that. Well, why are you on staff? Why do you, why are you here? Are you just here because you're the pastor's daughter? Oh, are we facing nepotism? I mean, it's a real thing, Like, oh, you just get to do that because you're the pastor's daughter. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thanks for the faith. Have a great day. But you got to live your life. You just got to live it out. And prove without a chip on your shoulder that you have a right to be there. Even being up on a stage, preaching as a woman, I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me over the years and be like, that was such a good job for a girl. Thank you. I appreciate that. Have a good day. I could walk around with a chip on my shoulder, and I did, honestly, for a while. As an athlete, as a self-proclaimed tomboy growing up, I walked around with a chip on my shoulder for a while. That whole commercial, Mia Hamm and Michael Jordan, anything you can do, I can do better, that was my anthem. But thank God I had people in my life who were helping me get that out of me so that I wouldn't get in my own way when it came to respecting myself and respecting others and then getting the respect of other people. Is respect flowing to you and through you?
Or are you stopping the flow of respect? Think back to that picture of the dam. In your own life, the chip that might be on your shoulder, the attitudes that you might be carrying, the words that you say to yourself or to others, the "you owe it to me" attitude, the entitlement attitude that's so rampant in this generation. Could it be that the very respect that you long for is actually being hindered by your actions and your attitudes? That brick by brick, you are building your own dam between the very thing that you want to flow in and through your life. I hope you hear my heart today. I hope more than that, I hope you hear God's heart today. In this world, I know it's not a popular thing to say, but let's treat ourselves, our individual selves, our self-respect. Let's treat ourselves with respect. Let's treat other people with respect. No matter what background they're from, what their history is, definitely not be hindered by the color of their skin or the gender that they are. And I feel like when we truly step into those two things, respect yourself, respect others, the natural byproduct is that other people will respect you. In a minute, our team's going to come up and we're going to sing. I just want to pray with you this weekend. So if you just bow your heads and close your eyes. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to honor you, to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to live in this generation. There are things that happen that don't always make sense. There's things that go on that we don't understand. And God, I pray that as believers, as children of God, that we can somehow find a way to come together and to unite around this idea that everyone wants respect. And the way that we can get it is by championing this cause to respect yourself and to respect others. And that the respect that we so long for will flow from that. God, I pray that you will heal hurts tonight. God, I pray that you will touch the brokenhearted tonight. I pray that you will touch people that have a chip on their shoulder from whatever they've been carrying. God, I pray that you will open up their eyes. You will bring awareness to their hearts, and you will allow your true freedom to come over them, your true wholeness to come over them in a way that they have never felt before, that they no longer need to identify themselves with that chip on their shoulder, but they can identify themselves as a child of the Most High God, whose name is above every name, whose name is above every skin color, whose name is above anything. God, that we can look to you and we can ask for anything that we could even think of or imagine, and it can be done in our lives, in our generation, in our church, in our communities, in our families, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We believe that you are here. We believe that you are in us. We believe that you are for us in Jesus' name. And we worship you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.